This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. About four decades ago, there was a novel called 6 Days of the Condor, which, when it was turned into a movie starring Robert Redford, became 3 Days of the Condor. It was written by James Grady, who since then has written a whole bunch of other suspense books and mysteries and novels, and now he's back with a new one that goes back to that very same character, the Condor, a CIA agent who, well, in the original book, was a guy who read novels for a living to see if they could give up some clues as to what might be going on in the world of surveillance and espionage around the world, particularly in the Cold War years. Now he's updated that for a book called The Last Days of the Condor, and he joins me here today. James, welcome to the Big 550.
Thanks for having me, Paul. It's great to be here.
So when you originally wrote the book in the mid-70s, we were right around the Watergate era, and there was a lot of suspicion about what our government was doing, who it was watching, who it was keeping an eye on. The Watergate break-in was on everybody's minds. And now here we are, 4 decades later, and we're wondering what the government is doing and who it's keeping an eye on. But instead of Watergate, people are talking about Edward Snowden. Is that why you returned to the Condor?
Yes, in essence it is. I wanted to take a look at this crazy new world of spies we've got out there. Big data, Snowden, how do we confront something like ISIS? And I figured that the best way to do it would be to take the iconic character that I originally created and that Robert Redford made tremendously better and put him into our brand new world of spies and set him on the run.
Does that mean that you have to keep up with what is going on in the world of the intelligence community?
Oh, yes. It's been my lifelong sort of study and passion and interest. And, you know, it's you have to keep keep up not only with what's going on in the headlines, but what's going on behind the headlines. And luckily, I live in Washington, so it's a little easier to do.
Do you think it's easier for spies to do their jobs now in the Internet era where access is so easy to get, or is it more difficult?
Well, in a funny way, I think it's almost more difficult because there is so much data. There's just so much data to sift through. The NSA's, you know, new facilities they're building out in Utah will have more data in their storage banks for the last year or two than was created in the entire history of mankind before that. So it's really a more difficult world for spies because it used to be you'd have to worry about what was going on in Russia, where there's a border. But we've got ISIS now, and we've got Boko Haram, who there are no borders for them. So it's much more difficult, I think, to find, identify, and try and figure out what the bad guys are doing.
So let's lay out, what is the plot of Last Days of the Condor?
Well, what I've done is I've taken our iconic character we've been talking about, Condor, and to some degree, he's been put out to pasture. He's a scarred PTSD veteran of our spy wars, and he's trying to remember how he got here, which allows us to look at the past. And in his search for who he is, in his search for where he's been for America, he hits the wrong tripwire, and bad things start happening to him.
I mentioned that in the original book, 40 years ago, you were writing at a time when we were still in the midst of the Cold War. And here today on this interview, you've already mentioned ISIS a couple of times and Al-Qaeda. This Condor 2015, The Last Days of the Condor, take on those questions as well?
It takes on those questions, but it comes at it from an entirely different perspective, I think, than most of the other fiction out there. Because to me, it's all about what's real and what isn't real, and how can we address this in an ongoing fashion, and what's it like to be the man in the street? So, yes, all that's the background of all those bad, bad guys we've talked about is in Last Days of the Condor, but I go for a little something more.
Do you think that the audience, both for books and for movies, is more savvy about the intelligence apparatus today?
Oh, I think so. In many ways, they're far more savvy than they were when I first started out. But on the other hand, they've also been inundated with a lot of, I don't want to say bad, but I would say exaggerated or hyped up information. When I wrote 6 Days of the Condor, there were only 3 books 3 factual nonfiction books on the CIA. You could fill 3 bookstores with the books on the CIA now. And instead of being, when I wrote Condor, there were only about a dozen really working full-time fiction authors who were doing high-quality CIA novels. Now there, I look around and there's hundreds of us out there. So on the one hand, the audience is more savvy, but on the other hand, it's the same thing with we have a problem we have with big data. There's almost so much out there, it's hard to know what to trust and what's really good.
What do you think those other authors are giving the wrong impression with? What misconceptions do readers and the audience have from all of that other information?
Well, spying is always, when you come to dramatizing in fiction, the tendency is, and the desire is, to make it look a little more glamorous than it is. It really, spying is that day-to-day grind of listening to conversations by the bad guy's girlfriend about what she bought in the supermarket today, so she'll drop that one tiny hint. Or it's watching the same building like we did for Osama bin Laden for almost a year, waiting to get a clue to know if your target is really in there. So spying, except for those moments when you really pull the trigger, it can be a tedious, boring, but back-breaking and really incredibly crucial job to do.
I mentioned that the first book, 6 Days of the Condor, which got turned into the Robert Redford 3 Days of the Condor movie, took place during the Cold War. Now, I've read a little bit about you, and I want you to verify or debunk a story I heard, and that is that the KGB read your book or saw the movie based on your book, with the Redford character essentially being a guy who just reads for a living and is looking for patterns in novels, and they thought that was such a good idea, they started a program just like that inside the KGB. True or false?
That is absolutely true, and it blew my mind when I got called about, I guess it was now 7 years ago, by the Washington Post. It was one of the first places to break that story. Not only did they think it was true, this job I made up for Condor, in classic Soviet communist approach to things, they said, well, the CIA is doing this on a small scale, let's do it on a bigger scale. They created a secret 2,000-man spy division to do what Condor was doing. And the funny thing is, they mirrored the structure I set up. They created a completely phony sounding organization. I'm not even going to describe it enough, the Russian thing. They put it in a big building, warehouse sized building in Moscow, and they put a phony brass plaque on the door. It just like I had in the original Condor. It blew my mind when I found out that my fiction had convinced the Soviets to create their reality.
Now, had you based that on a reality that you knew was already going on inside the CIA? So was the KGB copying you, copying the CIA?
No, the KGB was, I essentially made it up. The CIA did not have a division like I had. I just thought it would be really cool if they did, but I was writing the book. And the next, you know, come to find out, I convinced the KGB to do it.
Now, it'll be interesting if we found out that the CIA found out the KGB was doing it, and they did it, and it all came right back to your idea coming full circle.
I have to tell you, that circle is a dizzying ride for me to even contemplate. But, you know, I got a feeling that your idea might just have some validity.
Now, another thing I've read about you, and again, I need debunking or verification on, is that some Islamic revolutionaries read the book and or saw the movie and copied something from that, particularly an assassination attempt that takes place in the book and the movie, and use that as the basis for something they did in real life. True or false?
Well, mostly true. In 1980, there was an assassination of one of the Shah's former executives in Bethesda, Maryland, which is a suburb really just outside of Washington, D.C. The killer, the assassin, dressed up in a stolen postal uniform and had a stolen postal truck, walked up and rang the doorbell, just as I had the mailman do in 6 Days of the Condor, and shot the official who answered the door. Now, for years, the intelligence officials and American counterterrorism people called it the Condor hit, and were adamant that I had provided sort of the inspiration. I through various intelligence means, was able to get in contact with the assassin in Tehran. He says he's not sure, and I don't know what to make about that. He says, maybe I copied it out of your idea, but, you know, maybe it was something a friend told me who saw the movie. So to me, it's a little too close to not say that I had some influence in that real tragedy.
Wait a second. You were able to get in touch with the assassin?
Yeah. That's the beauty of being an investigative reporter and having the good guys on your side, is they can sometimes help you out.
Are the good guys still looking for this guy? I mean, he must be.
Oh, we know where he is. He's in Tehran. He's an actual native-born American who did the murder for money, and now he's hiding in Tehran, and he's on the federal fugitive list. And if he ever comes over here, he's going to jail.
Wow. This is the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with James Grady about his new novel, Last Days of the Condor, a sequel, if you will, to 6 Days of the Condor, which he wrote more than 4 decades ago and which became the terrific Robert Redford spy thriller, 3 Days of the Condor. Why did Redford cut it in half?
Well, it was actually best explained to me by Sidney Pollack, the great, wonderful director, who said, how can we show Robert Redford on the run for 5 days and nights and not being able to shave? It just won't look good on the movie screen, so we have to compress it all into 3 days, and they did.
And they set him up with Faye Dunaway, which at the time was a pretty good move as well.
You know, anybody who could have set anybody up with Faye Dunaway, I was hoping for a move that good, too.
Yeah, this was your first novel, right?
Yes, I was 24 years old when they started filming.
It was
just mind-boggling.
So how does that happen? I mean, you write a book, it becomes popular, but popular is one thing. Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway are going to star in the movie based on your book is a whole other thing. How does it go from A to B?
Well, I think it was more, and I'm a lucky convergence of events. I sold it through the mail. You could still do that in those days.
You sold it through the mail? In other words, you sent an unwanted manuscript through?
Right. Into the slush pile at W.W. Norton from Montana. I didn't know a single person in New York publishing. They picked it out. They were looking for what they hoped was a book they could sell to the movie, and they bought it for like a song. And they're telling me, you know, we think we can sell this into a movie. And I'm living in a shack in Montana going, yeah, right. The call started coming, and I'm going, you really did this? And lo and behold, they did. And then, you know, Robert Redford signs on. It just became a wonderful, wonderful train taking me right up to today and Last Days of the Condor.
Okay, so let's flash forward to 2015. You got the new book, Last Days of the Condor. It already has the history behind it of the Redford movie. Does Hollywood come knocking again?
You bet they did. It is now optioned by MGM Paramount. And, you know, cross your fingers. Things happen in Hollywood in strange and mysterious ways. So I will say that it's going to be a movie, but let's cross our fingers and hope so.
All right, but then I have to ask, who's the modern-day Robert Redford you want to play Condor?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and there are so many wonderful actors who could take this role, this iconic role, and make it their own, like they've done, for example, with both some of Le Carré's work and of course, the James Bonds. They have changed the central characters' visual representation by changing the actors, but there's so many great actors. There is, of course, Bob Redford still out there working. Robert De Niro, Liam Neeson, Jeff Bridges. I mean, I get all excited when I think of each one of them, and in my mind, every time I think of a name, I change the story slightly to accommodate that character.
Yeah, take Jeff Bridges off the list. He only mumbles now. Jeff Bridges 10 years ago would have been okay, but not now. But the others, certainly. But I can't help but wonder, James, have you painted yourself into a corner here? Because Hollywood, you know, they like a franchise. They like sequel after sequel after sequel. And you named your book Last Days of the Condor.
Well, I do that. And there's a mystery that will be resolved when people read the book there. But yes, to some degree, I wanted to put everything that I had out there in a shot for the readers. I didn't want to hold anything back. And when I did that, it seemed that the best way to do it was to call it Last Stages of the Condor, because after all, our guy's getting up there.
That's the name of the book, Last Days of the Condor, a sequel, if you will, 40-plus years later to 6 Days of the Condor, or the movie 3 Days of the Condor, with Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway and so many other terrific people. I hope this one does get turned into a movie. I hope this is a bestseller as well, and I enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.